how great it was to have Greg Mancy and his family here, and I want to thank the NHL for allowing us to have that opportunity. Obviously, Greg's going through a tough time right now, and I just thought it was a pretty special time. So it's something that, for me personally, meant a lot that the NHL allowed us to do that. So I want to start with that and open it up to questions. Yeah, I think, we want to be harder to play against from our team, just, our Sabres teams now. So you're looking at those type of opportunities to change that and work on that, which, I felt that we were able to do through these couple trades. And, organizationally, and it's, I think I laid this out the other day, you're certainly, especially in the top of the draft, going the best available player. It just so happened that in our first couple picks that we got some pretty good size and physicality and right shot D, they're valuable. So it for me, it's just building that pipeline.
This is the second straight year you've traded a second rounder. What do you have in Connor Timmins?
Well, this is a guy that we've had for a while, someone on our radar, as if there was a way to get him, we just thought he'd be a great addition to our group. We still think he's got upside to continue to grow as a player. When I talked to him on the phone today, he said he was standing in his parents' backyard and he could see KeyBank Center. So I think they have a cottage right across. He grew up a Sabres fan. Another guy that truly wants to be in Buffalo and couldn't even express his excitement to me just with the opportunity to come. So, that certainly checks out. And we really like his game. We just think he's a solid two-way player, that he's big, right shot, and I think it just really solidifies our decor moving forward. Well, I think that's probably where his game is, but as you guys have heard me say before, you do want to project out, and we see him as a guy that's continuing to get better. And last year, later in the season, the more minutes he played, the better he played. And so I do think there's upside. But, I'd say right now that's where he is.
Jerry, what are your quick evaluations of each of these nine picks this year?
The right shot D aspect of it was interesting. I mean, Merker was a guy we had targeted and probably thought there was a decent probability we would end up getting. So we were excited about that. We were a little nervous as it got to like 7 and 8. And we certainly view that as a bonus. The size and the right shot helps, but I wouldn't say it was a difference maker. With Bedkowski, that was more of a coincidence, to be honest. I mean, if you look at our prospect pool, we have quite a few of our best prospects coming, our right shot defensemen. So he was by far the best player left on our board when we made that pick. So it was more coincidence than anything that we ended up taking two big right shot defensemen, but certainly a guy that we did like and target a little bit for the toughness. Especially with his size, the check forward, Kucharczyk, was a player that all the crossover scouts have probably had 20 viewings each of in the last couple of years, and then Frank Musil has had an awful lot of viewings within his league, and in many of the tournaments with us as well. Comes from a very prominent hockey family in the Czech Republic, good two-way player. We obviously got a couple goalies. A few of our players, the path was interesting. Even some of the Europeans, this is going to be a more common thing with how the CHL has opened up to college hockey. And just in general, the Europeans seem to be coming over here more and more to the USHL and to the CHL. And I think even our Russian goalie may end up on that path in the very near future. So, the two European kids we took outside of Merka will likely end up over here, either in the CHL and the USHL, and then ultimately college. So you have an extended development path window with them as well.
Now, for me, your perspective as well, did the organization put a premium on selecting players with size and toughness and grit?
Well, I mean, I said a few days back, you look at your prospect pool sometimes and you see what we might add to our prospect pool. I would not say that, you know, we thought we lacked size or toughness or grit in our prospect pool, but I also at the same time said that, you know, there's a recency bias. You watch the way the playoffs are played. You don't expect that to go away anytime soon. We obviously want to be a playoff team in the near future and for a long time here. So you're trying to target playoff type players. And I would say maybe we talked a little bit extra about that, whether consciously or subconsciously that affected the placement of a few players on our list, probably.
Kevin, when you think of your draft room, obviously everybody's going to talk about, well, Yarmo's new, Eric Staal is new, but Lindy was in your draft room last year, but he had just got here. What was it like? What was Lindy's influence this year, given the fact now he's been here a year with this NHL team and with the organization?
Yeah, I think from what Lindy does a really nice job of in the scouting room around the draft time is, you know, he doesn't know the players like our scouts do, but what he does well is paints the picture to our guys is exactly what is going on in the NHL right now and the type of players that he sees having success. So when our scouts are debating or challenging each other on this guy versus this guy, sometimes Lindy has a perspective that I think is really important. You know, I also think that Lindy has so much respect from our, you know, Jerry and his staff that, you know, just the things he says go a long way, you know. So he knows that this isn't for him. It's not the time to weigh in and try to make a pick. It's more to listen, but then add his two cents. No, but he's an important voice in the room, and, you know, and he's counted on a lot of different ways more than just coaching. Yeah, I'd say the way I would explain it, Paul, is I really like Cliffy. Like, Connor Clifton is a really good hockey player, a solid NHL player, a great teammate, and, you know, physical, and, you know, all of that checks. Where we felt Timmons made our team better is just a little, maybe just a little bit cleaner in terms of the way he plays the puck touches and just the way he plays the game. So we just felt for the role that we were looking for in that spot on our decor, Timmons was a better fit and also someone that we thought could move forward with us for an extended period of time. Where, you know, we knew Cliffy going into the last year of a deal is probably, that was probably going to be it. So that was part of the decision as well.
As far as Bedkowski goes, just for both of you, whoever, just what kind of vibe did you get from him? I mean, you're talking to him on Zoom, and it sounded like he was ready to get down to business, and he was very passionate when we talked to him. Just what kind of feeling did you get from him?
Yeah, I mean, Jerry can weigh in a sec because, you know, he knows him through the year better than I do. But what I can tell you, the due diligence that our scouts talked about, when I looked at my notes, I had a 2-minute conversation with him after, and it was very clear to me that this is going to be a good pro. Just his head on his shoulders, how he conducted himself. I mean, he actually made a comment to me about how much it meant that how the pick was made, and just, you know, it was really just impressive how in an emotional time when you got a lot going on, just his calmness and ability to talk about, hey, I'm going to get better and I'm going to do everything I can to be the best possible player I can be. And I just think that when you hear the scouts talk about and then you see it after, you know, it goes a long way.
Yeah, what Kevin's referencing there is the fact that Greg made the pick and his story was kind of told out in Los Angeles. So here's a kid in probably the most anxious, nervous time of his life, had the composure, like that was the most important thing he wanted to talk to us about. That there was an honor to him that the pick was made that way. So that obviously speaks to his character and his kind of poise and his understanding of the bigger picture to be able to do that in the moment. In terms of the player, we've followed him closely for the past 2 years. He was a a player in his underage year that caught our eye an awful lot, Graham Beamish, our main Ontario scout, has probably seen him play 30 or 40 times. All the crossover scouts have seen him double-digit times. Traded from Oshawa to Owen Sound in a pretty big trade. Owen Sound targeted him, insisted he was part of the package for them to make that trade at the beginning of the season. Not ideal for the kid because it was a step down in terms of the team he was playing for, but he made the most of it. And I mentioned, you know, someone asked me about the Aitchison kid the other day, and this kid is very unique and very much in the same mold in terms of a throwback player and, you know, by the way, also 6'5". So I am very convinced he's going to get the most out of his abilities.
Did the draft board fall the way that you kind of felt that it was going to when it came time for you to pick at 9, or were there any upsets there?
We were, without going into too much detail, yeah, we were 6-for-6 on how the first six players went off the board, which I anticipated would be the case. I'm not afraid to say the player we got was the next player on our list. So for us, that was, you know, very good value, and we were excited about that. After that, it got a little scrambly, I think. You know, as it does many times when you get into the teens. But it's every year it's getting, not just our list, I think around the league, more and more accurate. I mean, you go through 60 picks in the draft and, you know, we're probably close to within 5-6 players dead on at that point in terms of who's gone off the board. So it fell all the way up until, I'd say, the 5th, 6th round, pretty much how we anticipated it would.
Jerry, you mentioned the other day that you saw Mirka live when he was in Czech, and you mentioned about his background a little bit also. I'm wondering if you could expand just on what impressed you about the background and past the state.
Yeah, I think personally I have 21 or 22 viewings of the player this year. So, and it actually started last year at the under 18s when he played there as an underager, and then the Hlinka this year. I'd make the case he's pretty easily the best player in his age group, you know, by a decent margin over in, you know, Czechia. But he played in the men's league, and he's probably too good to play junior hockey over in, you know, Czechia and most of Europe for that matter. But the men's league was accelerated for him, I would make a case. He could handle it for a while, but then playing on a very successful organization, his minutes started to dwindle a little bit. The league and the team understood he might come over to North America to challenge himself, and that maybe it wasn't ideal to be playing at that age in the men's league. But he wanted to honor a commitment he had to the national under 20 program over there in November. So I think all parties agreed that he would stay and play in that tournament. And then he came over to play in Seattle. And when you saw the growth in his game jumping into the WHL, which is not an easy league, just adjusting to the rink size, a different style of play for a defenseman. And I caught a couple poor games out there early, as did some of our other scouts, but we also caught some high-end games. But at about the 10-game mark, he just took off. I think they might have been 18 or 20 points out of a playoff spot at the time on a rebuilding team in Seattle. And I think everyone in the league would pretty much credit him and our goalie, Ratzlaff, for easily getting that team into the playoffs. Just all situations, two-way defensemen, a high compete, 6'6" kid still growing into his body, he's going to have some awkward moments. I project his skating to be very good in time, but he has some awkward moments. And then he goes to the under 18, you know, championships at the end of the year. And if anyone wants to watch clips, I'm sure you've seen some of them. A little bit of an undermanned Czech team because they didn't have all their best players there because of other commitments. And against the U.S. and Canada, you know, two of the best teams in the tournament, I thought he was arguably the best player on the ice for either team. So to see that progression all year long and then to know the character of the player, that he comes from, you know, very, you know, modest background, and he's had to work for everything he's gotten up to this point, would indicate he's got a pretty high ceiling to us, combined with obviously the physical upside of the player.
Kevin, when you talk about the draft, obviously the trades go in concert with it. You know, there's trade talk all around the league, continue to talk. What is your, how do you focus in on the next couple days, looking at Tuesday, to see in A, how you can, you know, maybe pick up a couple guys to help this roster, or B, do whatever you're going to do with Bo, or whatever you're going to do with the other players?
Yeah, I think some of it's just continued conversations. You know, it's been probably for the last month a lot of conversations daily with teams. Some of it ends up getting parked when you get to the draft just because of the way the draft falls, and then you pick it up tonight or tomorrow. Sometimes they break down because they're involving draft picks or potential swaps, you know, so they could go away too. But for me, it's, I'd say, continuing to look at ways to improve the roster, thinking about, okay, is there an opportunity to that the market resets, I guess is a way to say it, because after I think teams, whether it's big trades they were looking to make and they didn't go through or they did go through, like what are their needs now? And then there's kind of another kind of what I would say market that gets reset after July 1st. You know, there's, if certain teams are going after certain free agents, you don't get them. Their knee, you know, so how does that go? So that'll just be, you know, just continue to work at it and see how we can improve the roster in any way.
Would that kind of be what you saw last year? I mean, you got McLeod, it was July 5th.
Exactly.
You know, so it wasn't on the 1st, and the teams made some moves. And so in theory, you know, people want to know, are you going to get a forward? Can you get one in free agency? Is it even possible? But you could be doing something well after that when you have that second reset, right?
Yeah, it's exactly right. I think last year, you know, we really were focused on, like, this exact time last year on finding a third-line center that we felt was, you know, an all-situation player. And, you know, there are different ways to do that. We had talked about trading for players, free agency, and it just, the trades didn't materialize. Free agency didn't get the player that we had talked about. And, you know, players in unrestricted free agency have choices. So, to your point, though, then if it was July 5th, so that's a few days later, you know, we stayed on it and then ended up being able to make the trade we did, which, you know, fit. You know, I think that was a trade that we thought would help our team immediately, and we had a player that we thought could be with us for, you know, in his prime years, which is the goal. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes over the next few days, but we'll certainly be in active and trying in every way to improve the team.
You know, as you construct the roster for this season, how do you project the identity for this year's team and this year's roster?
Yeah, it's a great question because I'm gonna say it again. We have to be better defensively. We have to be harder to play against. We have to be a more mature team in terms of our puck management and decisions when you're, you know, up a goal on the road late in the first period. You got to get it behind the D and not turn it over and give up a 2-on-1 and that type of stuff. We just have to mature. So I'd say the identity, what I'm looking for, is a team that understands that we need to take the next step to play winning hockey more consistently. I think we did take a step late in the season in terms of guys understanding what that means, constant communication from the coaches to the leadership group. But, yeah, that's in defensively we have to be better. I do think we have a very talented group of players. We can score. We can – it's not about outskilling teams. It's about outcompeting teams with skill. And I think that's, for me, what I want to see more of. Hard compete with skill and guys that will do anything to win. And how you what you call it, I don't know. But to me, it's just an identity of winning hockey, and that's our goal.
Now you mentioned you're kind of open to anything with Bo Byram. Have you engaged, I guess, in like contract talks? Like, where do you think, you know, that's a realistic possibility?
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time and since the season ended. Well, first of all, I had a great conversation with Bo just one-on-one at the end of the season, you know, and just understanding where he's at, and he's just a great kid, and he's very He loves his teammates. He loves being a Saber. But he also, you know, understands that, you know, I have this window in my career, and, you know, what does that look like and what are opportunities? So we just talked about that. And I've had a lot of conversations with Darren Ferris, and I've just been very honest with him. I understand the position he's in, where he is in his career and how far he's 2 years away from UFA. And we'll just keep talking. I don't think it's great for me to publicly talk about any sort of contract negotiations, but what he knows is we like him, we believe in him, we think he makes our team better with it on, but if there's a trade to make that makes sense and we think it's the right thing to do, we'll do it.
What about him, like, you mentioned with JJ, like, it was pretty clear it wasn't going to work and you kind of pivoted. What is it about Bo that you think, like, you're kind of open to all these possibilities? It seems like he has the personality that if it works out where he's back here, he's kind of the type of guy that's just going to be right back all in.
100%. Yeah, and that and that's where we're at. Like, I'm comfortable if we're – sorry. Oh, it's do you want me to tell you who it is? GM on another team. See, I told you we're going to keep talking about it. What were we talking about, Bo? Yeah, I mean, I'm open to doing a longer deal, shorter deal. Like, I've told them that. They know that. But what I know about Bo Byram is if he's back, whether it's a one-year deal or a two-year deal or eight-year deal, he's going to be all in and try to help us win. And that's what I truly appreciate about Bo. So we'll get to the right solution. But, you know, it's got to work for both sides. But he understands how we feel about him, and he knows that we're willing to do whatever we need to do to try to help our team get better, and we've been very transparent both ways. So I'm looking forward to kind of engaging with Darren again here now that the draft's over. Thank you.
Thanks.
Keep that microphone for you, please.
That was Sabres general manager Kevin Adams with the media following the completion of the 2025 NHL draft. For more on every one of the Sabres draft picks, you can go up to our website, WGR550.com. I do want to remind you, the coverage of the NHL draft on WGR has been brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fugo Car and Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. Thank you to Joe Calley, Owen Parker, Brayton Wilson, and Paul Hamilton. I'm Zach Jones. We'll talk more on the Sabres as free agency will be beginning on Tuesday, July 1st. We'll be breaking it all down on Monday to begin the week at bright and early with Jeremy and Joe. So stay tuned for that. But until then, have a great rest of your weekend. This is WGR.